The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, April the 5th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled The Stanton Walsh Rule. And the time is 8:25 a.m. here in London, making it 3:25 over in on rather the East Coast of America, and now 26 minutes past midnight on the West Coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. So today's show title refers to the late Roger Ebert, very famous film critic, who once wrote that he was creating what he called the Stanton-Walsh Rule, which stated that no movie featuring either Harry Dean Stanton or M. Emmett Walsh in a supporting role can be altogether bad. Now, I don't know Harry Dean Stanton, what do I recall him from? He was in that film about a guy who drives across the country with a lawnmower, on his lawnmower, which was a bit boring. He was at the end of that with, it was a David Lynch film. He was in Wild at Heart, another David Lynch film, and he was in Escape from New York, John Carpenter film. That's all I can seem to recall him from. And but Emmett Walsh, on the other hand, he pops up all over the place, and I was looking him up, and he said that he loved acting so much he would do it for free. So for him, it was a privilege to earn money from it. And he said he also treated every role like it was the last one he was going to get. And the other day, I was watching an episode of The Outer Limits with him in it. And he's just fantastic. And if you go back to one of his more memorable roles, the film, the very first Coen Brothers film, Blood Simple, he plays an amazing role in that. And you think to yourself, if anyone else had done that, would the film have been had such success? Would it be regarded as such a cult classic today if anyone other than him had played the role that he played in that? And there are other great people in that film also, but for me, he's the one that stands out. Now, this show was a Saturday show for many years, and then, as you know, earlier in the year, it went to 5 or 6 days a week. And now it's back to Saturdays. And what I've learned during that time are things that I'm going to take away from it or add to it. And one of the things that I'm going to take away from it is I generally start each show with what I've downloaded to listen to. I'm not going to do that anymore. People know the sort of stuff I listen to. I've dropped quite a bit of it, actually, since I last mentioned that. But what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to mention something that I saw on the internet. This is on Brighton.com, the Health Ranger Report channel. Tina from the Satellite Phone Store joins Mike Adams to talk about electromagnetic health risks and solutions. Yes, now, this Tina from the Satellite Phone Store, for me, is even more irritating than the Tina out of the film Halloween 5, which is one of the worst in the franchises, despite the fact that it probably has the best screen death in horror film history. And for those fans of Clue, or as we call it, the board game Cluedo here in the UK, it was Michael Myers with the pitchfork in the garage. So there you go. I'll leave that with you and you can decide if you want to pursue it further. You know my feelings on people who grift on shows, and I've never liked this satellite phone store nonsense, because I remember being a kid and first being introduced to mobile phones. Oh, you get a free phone? Oh, really? You get a free phone, do you? Oh, yeah, but you're in a 24-month contract and you pay an exorbitant amount of money each month. So would they still give you a phone without that? Well, obviously not, because the cost of the phone is absorbed into that. And because it's such a egregious grift, I find it offensive that somebody would actually promote that. And someone who would promote that sort of stuff to his audience, I think has a very little regard of his audience. So I'm not going to be listening to this show. I just thought I'd mention it. It's 53 minutes long, if any of you wish to delve in. I've decided instead to wait for a Victor Hugo roundtable with Tina from the Satellite Phone Store, Rabbi Epstein and Wynn Young. I'll listen to it if and when that ever takes place. So I'm going to move on to see what I have found of interest in the news since last week's show. I'm not going to give you any headlines. I'm not going to give you any sources. With what I tell you, you'll be able to look it up for yourself from a variety of sources. I just want to talk you through it like a story to make it more interesting. That is the aim anyway. So we're going to go over to start off with the cricketer, Shane Warne. For those of you who don't follow cricket, Shane Warne's one of the greatest cricketers of all time. He bowled what was known as the ball of the century against Mike Gatting last in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, something like that. Might have been early 90s. And he died at the age of 52, which is the same age as I am now. And he died when I heard about it. He was on a lad's holiday, a few men together. Somewhere in Thailand, and he'd been having a massage, we were told. And I was like, they always call it a massage, don't they? Well, it turns out, now it's come out that he was found with a super strong sex drug, which is apparently a liquid or jelly form of Viagra. And again, you know, it begs the question, would this guy been able to perform without it? Also, I've never heard of, I've heard of bad side effects. I know someone who got a Viagra tablet stuck in his throat. It gave him a stiff neck. But I don't know, I just find it quite distasteful that people will go to this sort of length to have sex with, you know, prostitute. The whole thing I find just so distasteful, quite frankly. And there's so much more important things one could be doing at the age of 52 than travelling off to Thailand with your Viagra sex gel to have sex with people that are probably half your age, that you're paying to do so. I mean, what a waste of a life. Let's move on to, this is a website I'm going to mention because I think you should all bookmark it and just go there, not even once a day, maybe once every 2 days. It's called oddity central.com, oddity central.com. And it's the most unique website for news in the world because, as it says, it's all weird news. But when you try and pick it up from other sources, I've tried to look at, is there anything else like odditycentral.com, stuff like that. And I was looking around on my phone, which isn't always the best place. It's better to, you know, look around on your laptop. You've got a bigger screen. You can do more. It's easier to type stuff in, things like that. But I really wasn't finding anything, you know, it was like trying to give me Google results and stuff like that. But this is a really fun site to look at. One of the stories on there, and there's a guy in Australia who's called Emmanuel Liddon, who's, well, he's a collector. Now, make of that what you will. He collects coins and stamps, I believe. But one thing that he decided to collect was all the elements of the periodic table. Now, unfortunately, one of those elements is plutonium. And the Australian police were monitoring his order. You know, they actually let it, I believe, be delivered, which is when they intercepted it, got him too. Now, you know, the defence is that this guy is just, he loves collecting things and he just wanted to complete his collection. But they're obviously, well, you know, he could get 10 years in prison for possession of plutonium. So this is an ongoing case. It's Emmanuel Lydden is the name, Lydden. So if you want to follow it, his sentence is apparently due on April the 11th, which is only in 6 days' time. So if I see an update on it, but I'm probably going to forget, then I will report back next Saturday. So let's move on to, there's a Labour Member of Parliament in a city called Birmingham in the UK. His name is Tahir Ali. And Birmingham is the place where we've got these strikes on refuse collection at the moment. And I heard yesterday they put some emergency refuse collection lorries out, and there was mile-long queues for people wanting to dump their rubbish in there. So all sorts of problems. But this guy seems to be more interested in supporting a project in the town or district of Mirpur in Pakistan for an international airport. And he said that, I'm quoting here, there has been a long-standing promise, apparently he said this on X, there has been a long-standing promise for an international airport in Mirpur, which has yet to be met. This causes significant issues to a number of my constituents who are having to drive over 3 hours to get to the nearest airport in Pakistan. I will continue to push for this cause and pursue this issue until permission is granted for a new airport. And this unsurprisingly drew condemnation from Robert Jenrick, who pretends to be friends of people on the right in the UK, which is presumably why he suggested having a Star of David at every port of entry in the UK, something that I haven't actually checked out myself, but I'm repeating what I heard Mark Collett say on one of his broadcasts. But I certainly wouldn't be surprised, but you might want to check that for yourself before you pass it on. And the whole thing's just a joke, you know. Well, I'll tell you what Robert Jenrick said. You're an MP for Birmingham, not Mirpur. The streets of your city are literally piled high in rubbish thanks to your Labour Council focus on the UK. And actually, let's type this in now and see if we can set the record straight. Robert Jenrick, Star of David. Star of David, UK ports. See if anything comes up. The Telegraph headline, 30th of September 2024. Robert Jenrick displayed the Star of David at UK border 2, and then it says dot dot dot, and then underneath, the Star of David should be displayed at every port of entry to the UK to show we stand with Israel, Robert Jenrick has said. And so there's obviously some countries that he doesn't mind MPs supporting, but from what he said there, Pakistan doesn't, excuse me, sound like one of them. Let's move on to the morning after pill. It's going to be free now in pharmacies throughout England. And they're saying that it's because some places offer it for free in the UK, or rather England. I've got to be careful because I'm not sure if it includes Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. England. Some parts of England offer it and some don't. But for me, I couldn't help thinking, people who support all this depopulation, you could imagine that this is one of the quickest ways to lower a birth rate, is to get a morning after pill just before conception can start, shall we say. So I found that to be of interest. And then we have a GlaxoSmithKline Beecham, or GlaxoSmithKline, I think they're known as now, they, or GSK, they've got a new shingles jab, which apparently, and they say, and I stress the word, it could prevent millions of Brits from developing dementia. So again, I'm very sceptical of this. How many people are worried, like myself, who's both had a mother and a stepfather go through dementia before they died, and right, he was my stepfather, wasn't my blood father. Well, maybe. We were in an area with lots of chemtrails and stuff like that, and that's what caused it over the years, you know. Maybe I'm next, this sort of thing. And how many people are going to read that and think, oh, I'm going to get that shingles jab, and then may or may not, because it may be good for you, it may not be good for you. But if it isn't, Well, we know what happened with a lot of the COVID jabs, don't we? And we know also that there's many people that believe that that was intentional. So what better way to carry on a cull of people you don't want around than by selling it on the fact that it would prevent dementia, which for me, the majority of people seem to go with these days. My grandparents, neither of them had dementia, but go down to the next level, they both do. So there you go, that's my experience, and I'm not the only one. So let's move on to, this is an interesting story. We had a Quaker house, and I never knew that these were actually Quaker houses, but I'm sure I've seen them around. They have Friends Meeting House at the top. If you ever see a Friends Meeting House in a town that you go to, in the UK, then it's a Quaker house. Now, the Quaker house, they were raided for the first time in their history, I believe. This was at the meeting house in Westminster, and it was on March the 27th in the evening, because allegedly they were planning a series of protests to lock down London that would be similar to the Just Stop Oil protests. And I'm like, well, that seems a bit heavy-handed, because I didn't hear about any Just Stop Oil get-togethers that were raided when they were planning what they were going to do, point A. And point B, when they were doing it, government policy may have changed since, but I recall seeing these people glue themselves to roads so people couldn't get through, and the police were more concerned with their welfare than the welfare of the people who were having their journeys interrupted. And then I looked at what they were planning to protest, and I thought, oh, so that's what happened. Oh, I understand now. So I'm not going to tell you what it was. You can look it up for yourself as to what they were planning to protest. And you can see if you can spot any similarities between what happened to people who were protesting lockdowns during COVID and people who were protesting Black Lives Matter during COVID, how the two people were treated differently. And you will get a clear idea then. But yeah, it's just something else that I wonder if there was a campaign Just Stop Usury. Do you think that would have ever got off the ground? Do you think the police would have been, bringing these people drinks when they were glued to roads and stuff like that? Or do you think that would have been nipped in the bud before one person could have gone out and protested? I think I know the answer to that. Okay, let's move on to another police officer who I imagine was, one of their shining stars. He made it to inspector at the age of 35. I'm in the wrong story. Hold on. Let me do that one first, since I've started it. So, here it is. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. Right. Okay, so, his name was Thomas Kettleborough. He was an inspector at the age of 35, which is, it's one of those things that can happen, but it's quite rare to get to that rank at that age. But he's been jailed for 32 months after he was trying to meet a 14-year-old boy from the app Grindr while carrying limb restraints and bondage equipment. So there you go. That's the sort of person that the police are promoting to inspector by the age of 35. Of course, they're in bitter condemnation of him now. But one wonders how many boxes this guy ticked when he was recruited in the first place. And now we move on to the story I just clicked on by mistake. A couple in a row here. There was some police in Germany, a town called Rostock, which is in northeastern Germany, and they believed that they had found a body in the woods. But after a five-hour forensic investigation, it turned out to be a sex doll. Now, why anyone at all, like you or I, would take that long to determine the difference between an actual body and a sex doll, for me, raises questions about the suitability of the person who carried out the investigation to their job. You think that they knew it straight, will know something like that straight away. But it took me back to the Tom Sharp book Wilt, in which the lead character Henry Wilt disposes of a sex doll that he's been placed into his possession, shall we say, without his consent, and he needs to get rid of it somewhere, and he decides to throw it down a hole at a building site where he works. People think he's thrown a body down there, turns out to be a sex doll. And the other story that I saw this week that reminded me of something that I'd read, or in this case watched, was a guy at Manchester Airport. Someone flew in from Barbados, apparently, and they had nearly £1 million worth of cocaine in an electric wheelchair. Excuse me. In an electric wheelchair. And I was reminded of the Inspector Morse episode, Deceived by Flight, where a cricket team go travelling around Europe and the old guy who kind of acts as their coach and mentor, who is disabled, is actually trafficking drugs in his motorised wheelchair. So there you go. Let's move on to someone who managed to avoid being deported, which is not uncommon in the UK. This one was a cocaine dealer from Ghana. It was a woman, and she said that if she was deported, she'd be persecuted in Ghana, because apparently the locals there think that she's a witch. So you sort of wonder, well, you know, how come they didn't persecute her before she came? You know, if she's in danger, she wouldn't be here, would she? Because she wouldn't have made it out the country if there was that much danger. They wouldn't have. But again, you have to wonder, what sort of investigation goes into these claims? Or they just, oh, they said that, so they must be true. Because in the UK, if you get involved in a dispute with somebody that's of a protected class, I don't know what they call it exactly, and they believe that the dispute arose as a result of them being part of that protected group, class, whatever, then their assumption is enough in law to make that be the case. That becomes the case. So, of course, anybody, if they're part of a protected group and they're involved in a dispute, it's in their own interest to say, well, they thought that the dispute was because the other person didn't like the protected group that they were part of. Some of them might be honest and they might say, well, no, actually, I'm not going to use that. But you can imagine what a lawyer would say to them in advice, couldn't you? So that's just one wonders how much investigations go into claims by these people who give you a reason why they can't be deported. And almost, well, every story I've seen that I've mentioned to you on here, their claims have been believed and they've been allowed to stay in the country. Ketamine. This takes me back to my time in the police force. I remember someone I was dealing with, and they weren't being arrested. I don't know how it came about, but she'd was only a teenager, and she'd taken ketamine, which I hadn't even heard of, but I heard it was a horse tranquilizer. I was like, why on earth would you take a horse tranquilizer? The idea in my mind, I was, you know, if they had said, oh, I took cocaine or heroin or what have you, or smoke whatever, pot or whatever, I know these sorts of things and I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it myself, but you could understand someone being told, this is going to make you feel good, try this. But a horse tranquilizer. Well, it turns out that this has become very popular in the UK amongst Generation Z, is it? The current generation. And there's a variety of reasons for it. And one of them is it's about a tenth the cost of cocaine. I think it's about £10 a gram and cocaine's about £100 a gram. Something like that, I read. But it's also creating a lot of problems for people who have long-term usage of it. For example, I read a story about a woman who's only 25 who'd been using it for 3 years, and it's wrecked her bladder to the extent that whenever she urinates these days, it comes out as jelly. Okay? So these are the sort of drugs that they're taking here in the UK. And yeah, I'm right. It was Generation Z's drug of choice, apparently. And Generation Z is people aged 16 to 24 in the UK. And there's a lot of TikTok videos where people show the effects of it that for some reason are quite appealing to people who want to take it. It's something to do with going into the K-hole, whatever that is. That's what you go into, apparently, when you've taken it. And again, the cost of it, I think some people say it's even lower than the... it can work out cheaper than cannabis and even alcohol in some cases. So there you go. Sounds pretty dangerous stuff. And imagine that, having that problem with your bladder at the age of 25. Okay, so let's move on to, or go back to, Oddity Central. A 92-year-old man has just completed his 30th consecutive marathon in Rome. And it was a 42-kilometre run. He's been doing it, well, for 30 years. So obviously started at the age of 62. And, yeah, it's quite an interesting story. It reminds me of that Guinness advert years ago when you had that old guy competing in that, whatever it was, triathlon or something, and he's all applauded at the end, things like that. So quite an uplifting story there for a change. And then something that you probably all heard about, Hungary, they quit the International Criminal Court because the International Criminal Court has a war crimes arrest warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu, and they want him to be able to visit the country without them having to arrest him. So again, Viktor Orban, supposed to be one of these champions of the right in Europe, well, if he's, and he's called that because he's supposed to be so against immigration. But has he not heard of Barbara Lerner-Spector and her claims as to who's behind immigration? The whole thing, it doesn't add up, does it? That's the whole issue here. So, yeah, that's why I don't trust anybody in mainstream politics, and pretty much nobody in politics, full stop. And finally, Celebrity Big Brother. They've announced their lineup, which I have never watched. I couldn't understand why anyone would watch it, not even the original Big Brother, anything like that. I remember I was working at a company when the first series had just launched, and there was all these women I was working in the department with, and they just couldn't stop talking about it. I thought, why would anyone just want to watch what people do thrown into living in a house together? It seemed very odd to me. But it turns out that Mickey Rourke has joined the housemates. And I just looked at that and I thought, I mean, Rourke's had a pretty troubled career. He's, I think he had his own issues that he holds his hands up to, some of the ways that he behaved on certain film sets and what have you. But for me, when you look at him in the film Angel Heart, I just think that was such a brilliant performance. And I think he upstaged De Niro in that film. And it was a great film too. But that's what happens. You know, he had a little resurgence with The Wrestler. And then I think he got some lead roles again. He played a bad heat in one of the Iron Man films, something like that. But now it seems to he's gone a bit of a bell curve after The Wrestler, and now he's coming down the other side if he's stuck doing Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. Okay, I think that's everything that I put together for last week. And what I'm trying to get for you is stories that other weekly shows that do geopolitical roundup, stuff like that, that you won't hear on them, because there's no point me doing the sort of things that they're going to be talking about when you can listen, there's people already doing it. I'd rather try and do something different. And also, I like a bit of variety. It has to keep my interest up for me to be able to enthusiastically pass it on to you. Okay, so now let's have a look at what is going on right now in the mainstream media. And I've not looked at the mainstream media today, so we'll start off with Associated Press. Just have a quick look over here while it loads up. APnews.com. US consumers rush to buy big ticket items before Trump's tariffs kick in. So I think they were coming in on the 6th or the 10th or something like that. So presumably people are rushing to, you know, buy that Jaguar car or what have you over in the US that they were planning to get and get them in quick. So that's not really any surprise. Let's go to the BBC and do their top 10 most read articles at the moment. So we'll have to scroll down to that. Number 10. Pilots, parties and pranks filming Top Gun with Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise. Yes, of course, Val Kilmer passing away this week. And he's not really anyone I really recall seeing much in. Somebody recommended the film The Saint, where you actually got him acting with Alan Armstrong, which I was like, well, you don't really imagine those two together. Strange bedfellows again. Nothing I can think of that he was in. I was never a big fan of the Doors film. I actually saw that the other week, 50p in a charity shop last week. I thought, shall I look at it again? And I was like, no, it was just, I don't know. When I think about things like Dave McGowan's Stories from Laurel Canyon, stuff like that, and you know, Jim Morrison's father was Admiral Morrison and all this sort of stuff, I'm kind of going to give that a wide berth. Number 9, Dales welcomes Margot Robbie for movie shoot. Is it Margot Robbie or Margot Robbie? It's got a T at the end. Number 8, sometimes you have to walk through fire. Tariffs get backing in Trump heartland. Number 7, Russell Brand charged with rape and sexual assault. He's in the... I was looking at that because I thought if you get charged with that, a lot of the time you get remanded in custody because it's serious charges. But he's in the United States at the moment, so I doubt he'll be in any hurry to return, or certainly would imagine he'll be instructing his solicitor to find out what's going to happen to him should he return. Number 6, global stocks rout and Brand rape charge. That will be their What the Papers Say story of today. Number 5, Meta and Pinterest make secret donation to Molly Russell charity. Number 4, tariffs have shaken the markets. How worried should we be? Number 3, woman contacted by a stranger on DNA site and the truth about her birth unraveled. Number 2, man charged with murder after boy 16 stabbed. And number 1, parking firm told to pay £10,000 in 5-minute rule row. And this is something to do with, I think if you go into a car park, they've got cameras. You have 5 minutes to pay, or rather leave. And if you don't, then you have to, then they'll fine you, type of thing. It's ridiculous. The way that they do it, it's really, really shady and underhanded, is you get all these companies, a lot of supermarkets do it, but they'll get a different company to do their car park. And so if you sort of, you stay 5 minutes longer, a lot of supermarkets, you can park there for free for like an hour and a half. And they'll say, well, you know, you're 5 minutes over, you get a fine of like £90, something like that. And you go into a supermarket, this is disgraceful. And oh no, we can't do anything, it's not us. We've got a different firm, you have to go to them. And that shouldn't be allowed, okay? But at the same time, there was a restaurant, a Toby Carvery, in a place called Yule, which is right opposite a station called East Yule train station. And I turned up there, and I was like the first person in the restaurant, because I always go in early. And there was a load of cars in the car park. And that was because all these people thought, oh, you know, I could stick in that car park, you know, rather than pay. And so, of course, they had to set stuff up. So, again, sometimes people bring it on themselves. But anyway, yeah, it's, I mean, this is just ridiculous. The car park operator was demanding £11,390 in parking charges from one driver. But they lost the court case and had to pay thousands in costs. So there you go. A bit of good news for a change. Okay, so Daily Mail. Let's have a trip over to the Daily Mail. Nothing really of interest. Mother jailed over racist migrant hotel tweet after Southport stabbings is denied temporary release to see daughter 12 and ailing husband. And this is Lucy Connolly, who I believe was married to somebody who was involved in politics, local politics, something like that. So there you go. That's the second top story. Let's go over to have a look at what's going on in the independent news. And RT.com. I'm getting pretty bored with this site, to be quite honest. I looked at it yesterday and there was something in there that got up my nose. It's not very difficult to get up my nose, as you know. But I was like, do I really want to keep this site? Look at it. Trump says his tariff policies will never change. US sanctions against Russia are unprecedented. Here's why there's no effort to end them. Trump posts video of US strike in Yemen. Apparently it's drone footage of the bombing of a Houthi gathering. How nice. Right, rents.com, go over there. Scroll down. Let's see. The top story, this takes you to a Zero Hedge article that I won't be going to because I don't want a load of pop-ups happening. Russia again warns US not to hit Iran nuclear sites, catastrophic and illegal. Only 15 senators dare vote to block arms to Israel despite majority of Americans wanting aid to end. And everything is crashing after China retaliates with 34% tariffs on US goods, all by design in brackets. So that's kind of Jeff's editorial bit there. But yeah, I saw that. So I think America put a 34% tariff on China. So China have responded. But from what I can gather, it's all one-way traffic, not just with America, but we get loads of stuff from China as well. So I think that America will be getting a better deal out of that. I very much be quite surprised to what America actually exports to China. But anyway, let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Extremely urgent, just got the word margin calls began this morning, whatever that is. Is that they've got a Dow Jones plunging 6%, headline below that. Let's click on this margin calls. It's all to do with stock futures, and it's a story from yesterday. And I mean, again, you know my feeling, if things are happening, it's because the controllers want them to happen. You're not going to get any hope here that I haven't seen in the scripture. And I was listening to a Rick Adams show earlier in the week, and well, obviously his archive shows, because he passed away in 2021, and he was actually saying, he says, I actually like seeing things go wrong because it shows that we're in the spiral that the Bible showed us. And he said also because so many people, even who claim to be awake, who would listen to, you know, alternative media, stuff like that, they're still think that there are people out there that they can put their faith in, like political figures, stuff like that. So essentially they've learned nothing. And yeah, these people have to be there, folks, so that you've got a voice. That's why, you know, they'll tell you 90% of what's going on, but they'll never point the finger at the actual culprit that Jesus Christ points the finger at. Okay, so ask yourself that question, why, and then you'll work out, well, they need someone to be there for people who question the system so they can catch them and make sure that they don't they don't identify the culprit for the people interested who have, you know, seen beyond the mainstream media. I hope I've kind of explained that. Earthnewspaper.com, go over here. Mark R. Elsis website. Let's see what we've got here, just scrolling down. There's see what the music of the day is. So Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, that's the music of the day, certainly in the featured music on the right. I'm not really a big fan of classical music. The only thing that comes to mind when I hear the name Mozart or Amadeus Mozart is the song Rock Me Amadeus by Falco, which I believe was from, I don't know what it was from, maybe it's from the film Amadeus, I don't know. It wasn't a bad song though, I think it made number 2 in the UK. Censored.news, you know what, I'm going to delete that now. it's not a knee-jerk thing to the satellite phone store interview, although I'm not happy. But it's something I click on each day, and I very rarely get anything from. And it does leave a bad taste in the mouth when someone actually will put that up as a special show, as if that's something you really need to listen to. As I said earlier, I find it offensive. Okay, so we'll finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. So we'll scroll down to number 10. 107 people viewing, went up 2 hours ago. Wan07 and David Nino Rodriguez. They're exposing the whole damn SH Star T storm. This is it, folks. Yes. Always is, isn't it? When these two guys are on. Number 9 went up 3 hours ago. 109 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump's tariffs. Trump military initiates final phase. EBS ready. Number 8 went up 9 hours ago, 119 people viewing. New X22 financial report, economic boom, Trump lowers rates, Fed will wait. Again, folks, if you've been involved in the independent media for prior to the age of Trump, you tell me a time when any of the independent media supported the sitting US president. Or even political opponents, for that matter. They saw the whole damn system was corrupt. But something happened, and now most of what I'm reading out that claims to be alternative to the mainstream is in support of a sitting US president. What is wrong with this picture? And what is wrong with people out there that will, you know, see what this guy... I mean, have you not heard of being buttered up by someone? Let's butter them up, you know. Let's do this, that and the other that they'll support so we can get away with the big things that we want to do. That's what's really going on. They're making bold moves. And they couldn't care less if they go against some of the wokery for a while, because they know they can just bring that back in the future when they get the more important things out the way. And that's what's going on at the moment. So they're getting rid of that to get people on side. And unfortunately, people are so dumb that they fall for it. Number 7 went up 10 hours ago, 143 people viewing. Derek Johnson, big Intel update, bombshell, important update by Derek Johnson and Francine Fosdick. Strange. Number 6 went up 8 hours ago, 170 people viewing. Dr. Jim Willey emergency broadcast. They just exposed everything. Number 5 went up 8 hours ago, 192 people viewing. New X22 report. Doge and Trump found something incredible. Panic in DC. Number 4 went up 2 hours ago, 202 people viewing. Kerry Cassidy, shocking disclosure. The list of who was arrested and executed at Gitmo. This is really, really poor stuff, isn't it? Dear, oh dear. Number 3 went up 7 hours ago, 207 people viewing. Cliff High Space Pirates. Number 2 went up 11 hours ago, 289 people viewing. Ismail Perez, nightly Intel update. He's someone I hadn't heard of until maybe not even a month ago. And suddenly, he's been at number 1 and now at number 2 on Before It's News. It's amazing the fortitude some of these people have from coming from absolutely nowhere, going straight in at number 1 and number 2, isn't it, folks? Amazing. And number 1 went up 11 hours ago, 373 people viewing. Nino, Trump checkmate move. EU declares war on Musk. Comedian Russell Brand charged. Okay, so that's it for today's edition of I'm Talking to You. I want to thank all of you for joining me for episode 219, the Stanton Walsh Rule. I'm going to go off and record tomorrow's traditional Christian message. I'll be back with you then on Tuesday with Peter. And this show will be back next Saturday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend and bye for now.